So we had come to text 11. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes bath in Radha Kund." But we took bath in Radha Kund, but we didn't develop pure love for Krishna. So, why not? So as we mentioned yesterday, that we should follow all of the instructions in Sri Upadeshamrita from the first. And then following all the other 10 instructions, when we come to the 11th to take bath in Radha Kund, we may get that result of pure love for Krishna. Now, let us discuss a little more about how one can render service at Radha Kund, as mentioned in text 10. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kund is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as she is. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, render loving service to the divine couple? What is the meaning of spiritual body? Can we go to Radha Kund and reside in a spiritual body? Well, what is mentioned here comes at the stage of bhava. Rupa Goswami defines bhava bhakti. Shuddha sattva visheshatma. So shuddha sattva, what is shuddha sattva? Goodness. Not material goodness, but shuddha sattva is beyond material ignorance, material passion, and material goodness. It is spiritual. And just as the material energy has three divisions, sattva, rajas, and tamas, the spiritual energy, or shuddha sattva, also has three divisions, corresponding to eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Chit ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So the spiritual energy has one division that corresponds to sat. Sat means eternity or existence. And that division is called sandini. Then chit means knowledge or cognizance. And that division is called samvit. And ananda means bliss. And that division is called ladini. Well, anyway, sandini must be there just to exist. Even for us to exist as spirit souls, sandini must be there. But especially samvit and ladini. Samvit means the one level it means knowledge of Krishna. Another level it means direct realization of Krishna. And ladini means pleasure. By ladini shakti, Krishna experiences pleasure. And the devotee also experiences pleasure when he gives pleasure to Krishna, but through the medium of Ladini Shakti. And the combination of Samvit and Ladini is bhakti. It is bhakti. But Rupa Goswami says, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. Vishesh means special, like the essence of Shuddha Sattva. That means the essence of Ladini Shakti and Samvit Shakti. That makes Bhava Bhakti. That makes Bhava Bhakti. And by Samvit, one gains direct realization of Krishna. Direct perception of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has given the example, or he's made the statement, that self-realization, full self-realization, implies God-realization. Just like seeing yourself in the mirror implies seeing the sun. Because without sunlight, you cannot see yourself in the mirror. So to actually see one's self in one's spiritual identity also means to see God. Because our spiritual identity involves service to Krishna. So self-realization implies God-realization. And self-realization and God-realization come in Bhava Bhakti. So, Shuddha Sattva Vishesha Atma. Atma means, what does Atma mean? Itself, it means the mind, it means the body. In the stage of Bhava Bhakti, Shuddha Sattva becomes one with one's very being, with one's mind and one's body. And therefore we can say that one's body has become spiritualized. One's mind has become spiritualized. Because in Bhava Bhakti, Shuddha Sattva completely fills the mind and body. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of the iron in fire. If you put an iron rod in fire, the fire will enter the iron rod, and the iron rod will no longer act like iron, but it will act like fire, become red hot, and anything that comes in contact with the iron rod will burn. So just as the fire enters the iron rod, and the iron rod no longer acts like iron, but it acts like fire. Similarly, Shuddha Sattva enters the body at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. The body no longer acts materially, but it acts spiritually. That means it no longer engages in any activity of sense gratification. It engages only in activities of service to Krishna. And the purified senses, or the spiritualized senses, become fit to render service to the spiritual senses of Krishna. Then we can say that the body has become spiritualized, and the mind has become spiritualized. Body and mind have no other function then except serving Krishna. So I will read some verses about Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami so we can understand how the body becomes spiritualized. Sanatana Goswami came to meet Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. He passed through the Jarikanda forest. and he got some disease that produced itching sores which oozed some liquid. And Sanatan Goswami was very despondent because Lord Chaitanya would always want to embrace him. And the foul-smelling liquid that oozed from the sores on the body of Sanatan Goswami would touch the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami felt very bad. To the where he wanted to give up his body under the chariot of Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya insisted on embracing him. And Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan Goswami that you are considering your body to be material, but I consider your body to be spiritual. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Incidentally, today is Sri Rama Ekadasi, the day that Srila Prabhupada completed the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lila Chapter 4, Sanatan Goswami Visits the Lord, Text 172. Tumara deha tumi kara bibatsa jnana, tumara deha amara lage amrita samana. Consider your body dangerous and awful, but I think that your body is like nectar. Aprakrita deha tomara prakrita kabunaya, tatapi tomara tate prakrita buddhihaya. Although your body, actually your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of a material conception. Is it a fault in Sanatan Goswami that he thought that his body is material? It's his humility. A pure devotee never thinks that his body is pure. He doesn't think that he's pure, and he doesn't think that his body is pure. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion about how a person completely engaged in the service of the Lord transforms his body from material to transcendental. He says, a pure devotee engaged in the service of Lord Krishna has no desire for his personal sense gratification, and thus he never accepts anything for that purpose. He desires only the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, ecstatic love is Srila Prabhupada's rendering of Bhava Bhakti in English. And because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, he acts in various ways. A devotee always engages wholeheartedly in the service of the Lord, forgetting about bodily conceptions and bodily activities. A devotee on the topmost platform of devotional service always humbly thinks that he is not rendering any devotional service. So, actually, Sanatan Goswami was in the mood of a pure devotee when he thought that his body was material and awful. On the other hand, he thinks that he is poor in devotional service and that his body is material. On the other hand, those known as sahajiyas foolishly think that their material bodies are transcendental. Because of this, they are always bereft of the association of pure devotees, and they cannot behave like Vaishnavas. We discuss the sahajiyas. They cannot distinguish between the material and the spiritual, that by dressing the material body as Krishna or as a gopi, one is liberated or able to enter the pastimes of Krishna. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has written, Anti Lila 2028, Premera Swabhavayahan Premera Sambandha Se Mane Krishna Mora Nahe Prema Ganda. Wherever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, the natural symptoms are that the devotee does not think himself a devotee, but always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. Then there were some more pastimes. Still the same problem continued, that Sanatana Goswami thought that his body was awful and he didn't want to touch Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace him by force. But Chaitanya continues in the same vein, text 191. Prabhu kahe Vaishnava deha prakrita kabunaya aprakrita deha bhaktera chid anandamaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the body of a devotee is never material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. Then he says what we read in the purport to text 5. Kale bhakta kare atma samarpana, se kale krishna tare kare atma sama. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. So Krishna is Sachidananda Vigraha. So to be accepted on the same level as Krishna means to come to the transcendental platform of Sachidananda Vigraha. So does it mean that when we sit in the fire and get our beads from the Guru, that we come to the same level as Krishna? No. So what is the actual definition of diksha? Discussed it, and Srila Prabhupada mentions it. Srila Prabhupada quoted the definition of diksha from Jiva Goswami, from Bhakti Sandarbha, in the purport to text 5. So what is the definition? Diksha is the process by which the devotee gradually loses interest in sense gratification and gradually becomes more and more interested in spiritual life. So diksha is not a single event. Diksha is a continual process by which the devotee becomes more and more interested in spiritual life. Becoming more and more interested in spiritual life means he becomes more and more anxious to know who he is. What is his relationship with Krishna? What is his actual identity? What are Krishna's pastimes with his beloved devotees? So when one becomes more and more interested to know about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes with his devotees, and one's own identity and one's own service to Krishna, is the process of diksha. And when one becomes more and more interested in Krishna and Krishna's service, he loses interest in material activities or sense gratification. And when he comes to the stage of bhava bhakti, means that his interest in Krishna consciousness has become quite strong, and his interest in sense gratification has become practically nil. And when bhava bhakti becomes condensed, it becomes prema bhakti. And when one achieves prema bhakti, one can enter the pastimes of Krishna. It means go to the planet of Krishna and enter the pastimes of Krishna. And when one comes to the to one's full capacity, loving Krishna and serving Krishna, or when one's spiritual master introduces one to Krishna, then one could say that one's diksha is complete. So we have just begun the process of diksha. Haven't completed the process of diksha. But the attainment of bhava bhakti is considered to be a very significant step in diksha, in surrender to Krishna. We do surrender, we surrender to the Guru. But the surrender is disturbed by so many obstacles, anarthas, aparads, and so on. When one comes to bhava bhakti, one's surrender is not disturbed by anarthas and aparads. And Krishna accepts the devotee on the same level as Krishna. And the devotee becomes eligible to serve Krishna with his transcendental senses and serve Krishna's senses. So when one comes to the stage of bhava bhakti and can realize the pastimes of Radha and Krishna at Radhakund and meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna at Radhakund, then one is ready to live at Radhakund and render devotional service at Radhakund. There are many Babajis at Radhakund, but according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, no one should take Babaji initiation unless he comes to the stage of Bhava Bhakti. Babaji is really a transcendental position in principle. Just chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, and remembering the pastimes of Krishna and Astakaliya Leela. And that is Bhajan Vigya. Text 5, we read about the advanced devotee in Vigya. This is Bhajan Vigya. That he's completely liberated from material contamination and he's able to chant the holy name and remember the transcendental pastimes of Krishna throughout the whole day and night. This is advanced devotional service. Srila Prabhupada was acting as the world acharya. Of course, in the last days, Srila Prabhupada did retire to Vrindavan and mostly absorbed himself in hearing the holy names day and night and remembering Krishna. So some devotees, because there is a stage at the end of life where a devotee comes to Vrindavan, is in seclusion, and does bhajan, which is called nirjan bhajan. So some devotees perceived that in his own way, Srila Prabhupada was doing nirjan bhajan, prior to Vrindavan, and day and night he was just hearing the holy names of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada confirmed that, yes, he was doing the same thing. But as the acharya, he also set the example of being in the mood to preach until the end. But when the devotees asked him, he confirmed. And he said that at the end of life, the devotee may retire from other activities and come to Vrindavan and do nirjan bhajan and just concentrate on chanting the holy names and remembering the pastimes of Krishna. At the beginning of bhava bhakti, there are different types of ecstasy, vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, and vyabhichari bhav, which are described in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then there's Stai Bhav. Stai Bhav means permanent ecstasy. Stai Bhav means permanent ecstasy in the sense that one feels ecstasy continuously in the mood that I'm Krishna's friend, I'm Krishna's mother, I'm Krishna's father, I'm Krishna's beloved. So another synonym for bhav is rati. So there are, in sty bhavs, there is dasya rati, sakya rati, vatsalya rati, and madhurya rati. And as one advances in bhava bhakti, the different ecstasies become stronger. But in order for rasa to be formed, all five ecstasies have to be present. And the sty bhav has to subdue or control the other bhavs. So when the sty bhav becomes powerful like an emperor and subdues the other four bhavs, bhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, and vyabhichari bhav, then rasa is formed. And when rasa becomes little condensed, that means bhava bhakti has become actually condensed, it becomes prema bhakti. Rasa becomes fully manifest in prema bhakti. Yes. In bhava bhakti, one can attain swarup siddhi. Swarup siddhi means that he's in the physical body, which is spiritualized by Shuddha Sattva, but otherwise he's within the same body. Yeah.
Because once he mentions that
when he comes to prema bhakti, he cannot live in the same body. And by the arrangement of the Lord, he will go to the planet of Krishna's pastimes. He won't stay in the same body. Seems so. Yes. So, Diksha Kale, at the time of initiation, Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpana, he fully surrenders to Krishna. Of course, everything continues. Surrender begins, but it continues. In Bhava Bhakti, it becomes more complete. In Prema Bhakti, it becomes more complete. And when it comes to Mahabhav, then surrender is most complete. Se kale Krishna tare kare atmasa. Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Se deha kare tara chid anandamaya aprakrita dehe tanra charana bhajaya. When the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in that transcendental body renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that to enter fire, one must become fire. So to serve the Supreme Brahman, one must come to the Brahman platform. One must be situated on the platform of Brahman, Satchidananda, or Shuddha Sattva. And Lord Chaitanya quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Martyo yada takta samasta karma nivedita-tma vichikirshito me tadamritatvam pratipadyamano mayatma bhuyaya chakalpate vai. The living entity who is subjected to birth and death, when he gives up all material activities, dedicating his life to me for executing my orders, and thus acts according to my direction, at that time he reaches the platform of immortality. That means he develops his spiritual body. And then there's no more change of body. At that time he reaches the platform of immortality, and becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss of exchange of loving mellows with me. then the purport repeats the same ideas. And Srila Prabhupada comments, when a devotee no longer has any desire for material sense gratification, in his spiritual identity, he engages in the service of the Lord, for his dormant spiritual consciousness awakens. This awakening of spiritual consciousness makes his body spiritual, and thus he becomes fit to render service to the Lord. So here Srila Prabhupada says, karmis may consider the body of a devotee material, but factually it is not, for a devotee has no conception of material enjoyment. So here we think of text 6. What does text 6 say? One should not see the body of a pure devotee from the material point of view. One should know that it is always spiritual. And one should not consider a devotee's body having been born in a low family, having a diseased body or a deformed body or whatnot. And Lord Chaitanya set the example with Sanatana Goswami. Although Sanatana Goswami's body appeared to be diseased very badly, but Lord Chaitanya did not consider his body to be diseased or material. He considered his body to be spiritual, like nectar. So now we come to the end. Text 11. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Sri Radha Kund is the most select place for those interested in advancing their devotional service in the wake of the lady friends, sakis, and confidential serving maids, mandiris, of Srimati Radharani. So in text 8, Rupa Goswami said, Tishtan Raje. What is the meaning of Tishtan Raje? One should reside in Vraj and follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees. So, if one wants to serve the Lord following the cowherd boys, he may live in Govardhan, he may live in Ramanreti, or he may live in Vrindavan. And if one wants to serve the Lord in the mood of Nanda and Yasoda, then he may live in Gokul or Nandagram. But here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if one wants to follow, means if one wants to serve the Lord as one of the lady friends of Srimati Radharani, or one of the maidservants of Srimati Radharani, then Radhakund is the best place. Because at Radhakund, only Srimati Radharani and her girlfriends are allowed. No one else is allowed at Radhakund to serve Krishna. But we should be qualified, of course we should be qualified. Living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddha Deha, should live at Radhakund, taking shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction engage constantly in her service. So, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, in their eternal spiritual forms, in Krishna Lila, they are maidservants of Sri Radha. So when we go to Radhakund, we should take shelter of them, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, or Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our spiritual master. As maidservants of Srimati Radharani. This is the most exalted method for those engaged in devotional service under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narada and Sanaka do not get an opportunity to come to Radha Kund to take their baths. What does it mean? Doesn't mean that we can go to Radha Kund and they can't, so we're better than Narada. It means that to develop a spiritual body as a gopi and take bath in Radha Kund is difficult even for them. So what to speak of ordinary devotees? But we're not better than Narada in the sense that we also haven't developed our spiritual bodies as gopis. We also can't take bath in Radha Kund, in the full sense. What then to speak of ordinary devotees? If, by great fortune, one gets an opportunity to come to Radha Kund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna exactly as the gopis did. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, there are many statements that if one just takes Charanamrita, if one just circumambulates the temple, if one just does this, if one does that, he will get some extraordinary result. So Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada explain that the results mentioned in relation to the various items of devotional service are not exaggerations, but they are not true for all persons in all cases. But especially if one is already advanced in devotional service, then if he performs any one of the items, he may get the result mentioned. So we can apply the same principle here, that it is not true in every case for every person that if he takes bath in Radha Kund once, he'll develop love for Krishna like the gopis. But if someone is already advanced in devotional service and then he takes bath in Radha Kund, then the bath can bring him to the stage of love for Krishna, like the gopis. That is also true. We could say that if one takes bath once in Radha Kund, he will develop love for Krishna like the gopis, if he has greed, and if he follows the process. It may take some time, one life, 2 lives, 10 lives, 100 lives, but eventually he will reach the goal. So the statement is true. That is a good answer. It is also recommended that one should live on the banks of Radha Kund and should be absorbed in the loving service of the Lord. Should bathe there regularly and give up all material conceptions, taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. If one is thus constantly engaged during his lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radha Kund. So also in relation to text 8, Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse, Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam, that whatever one thinks at the time of death, he will attain that state without fail. Because in the verse, Rupa Goswami said that one should chant the holy names of Krishna and remember the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and thus engage his tongue and his mind. So the whole goal is to remember Krishna at the time of death. And in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada explains that we should remember Krishna with his associates in their service to Krishna, Krishna's pastimes. if we think of Krishna and his associates in their pastimes throughout our life, then at the time of death, we will get the appropriate body to serve Krishna in the way that we desired and remembered during our life. Otherwise, to think of Krishna at the time of death is vague. Just think of Krishna at the time of death is vague. But if we think of Krishna with associates in past times, and those with those associates whose mood and service we want, then we may think of Krishna at the time of death and attain the goal. The conclusion is that to live on the banks of the Radha Kund and to bathe there daily constitute the highest perfection of devotional service. We know what it means to live on the banks of Radha Kund. There are also monkeys and turtles, Radha Kund. But to speak of taking bath, the turtles practically live in Radha Kund. So when Srila Prabhupada says, we should appreciate the good fortune of the turtles in Radha Kund. Certainly the turtles in Radha Kund are very fortunate. But we cannot imitate the turtles. We should follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath. This is the idea. Thus, there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radha Kund, because Radha Kund is not different from Srimati Radharani. We read in text 9 that Radha Kund is overflowing with prema, because Srimati Radharani is overflowing with prema. And one can give what one possesses. So Srimati Radharani has the highest prema, so she can give prema. And because Radha Kund is not different from Srimati Radharani, Radha Kund can also give prema. There is no limit to the glory of Sri Radha Kund. By serving Radha Kund, one can get an opportunity to become an assistant of Srimati Radharani under the eternal guidance of the gopis. Oh, Narada Muni has a spiritual body. To take bath in Radha Kund, or in other words, to join the pastimes of Krishna at Radha Kund, one has to be in the line of the gopis. There's no other ras at Radha Kund except Madhurya ras. So even Nanda and Yasoda do not come to Radha Kund. See, when it begins in bhava, but when bhava becomes more condensed, it becomes prema. So you could also say when rasa becomes more condensed, it becomes prema. And then sneh, man, pranay, rag, anurag, and so on. But it starts in bhava bhakti, but it becomes more condensed or more fully realized in prema bhakti. But we discussed the other day that even if we cannot chant the pure name, but even by chanting in Nam Abbas, we get so much benefit. And by chanting in Nam Abbas and trying to avoid offenses and actually avoiding offenses, we can gradually chant the pure name. So we may not actually take bath in Radha Kund. We may have an Abbas of bath in Radha Kund. But even an Abbas of bath in Radha Kund can help us. Just like an Abbas of pure chanting can help us. We're not qualified. There's no question that we're qualified. But Rupa Goswami has instructed us. Vyasacharyas have instructed us. Srila Prabhupada has instructed us. So in obedience to their order, we do it. We have faith that by their mercy, gradually, some benefit will come. Well, if one comes to Vrindavan, as Srila Prabhupada writes, when one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. So certainly taking shelter of an advanced devotee means spiritual master, either Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. If you can take shelter of an advanced devotee who has a direct relationship with Krishna as a follower of the gopis, the most fortunate, they're all spiritual masters. They're all spiritual masters. That is the point. That is the point. We should have some direct link, because we cannot come in contact with Srimati Radharani and Krishna directly, or even Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. We cannot come in contact with them directly. So we have to come in direct contact with someone who is in contact with them. By his mercy, we also come in contact with them. In the conditioned stage, we cannot come in contact with them directly. Why not? What is your actual question? The inspiration to pray to them. From where does the inspiration come? Association of some devotee. And therefore you got the inspiration to pray to them. Where did the inspiration come from? The association of some devotee. Anyway, if you pray to them and they reciprocate, no problem. No problem. The more we pray sincerely, the more they will respond. And when we are in misery, we can pray more sincerely, because we realize we're not the controller, we're not the enjoyer, we're not the proprietor. And we give up so many false conceptions, because actually we control over the situation. We have no control. So the only thing to do is pray to them. The more sincerely we pray, the more. Certainly, if one is, like Queen Kunti says, that Krishna is the property of the akinchanas, or niskinchanas. So in some crisis, if we give up our sense of possessing and controlling and enjoying, and we feel we have nothing except them, then we can really pray, and they will surely respond. Like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Nikunja Yuno Ratikedi Siddhe, he saw his spiritual master as eternal associate of Krishna. We cannot judge by seeing the person's body if it is spiritual or material. But if the person is fully engaged in the service of the Lord without any false identification with matter and without any activities of sense gratification, then we can say that he has a spiritual body. Like fire and iron, Shuddha Sattva has come and filled the body, filled the mind, filled the person to such an extent that we cannot distinguish between Shuddha Sattva and the physical body or mind. It's like when the fire goes in the iron and it becomes red hot, you cannot find any place where the fire is not. The whole iron rod is red hot. You understand? When by sadhana bhakti and the mercy of Krishna and the associates of Krishna, Shuddha Sattva comes, Bhava Bhakti comes, then Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. We cannot distinguish. But in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was eternally liberated. He was never conditioned, he never had to do sadhana. So his body is spiritual in another way. His body is eternally spiritual. Iron becomes red hot. If you touch the iron, you get burned. So someone's body is spiritualized. If you touch the body, you get bhakti. You come in contact with bhakti. Not only touching the body directly, but the water that washed the feet, the remnants of the food. Bhakta pada duli, bhakta pada jal. That the water that has washed the feet of the devotee, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee, and the remnants of the devotee's foodstuffs are three very powerful substances. Yes, he says, like the fisherman who caught Lord Chaitanya in his net. So the fisherman touched Lord Chaitanya, and the fisherman became mad with love of Krishna. Yes, very good example. The wonderful results of giving up one's body in Vrindavan, or the wonderful results of any devotional activity, are not exaggerations, but they are not true in all cases for all devotees. But for devotees who are already advanced in Krishna consciousness, such results are not uncommon. Because we read that if one chants the holy name with offenses, he won't get the fruit of chanting, which is love of Krishna for so many births. Does anyone know the verse, Bahu Janmakari? They used to recite it in the morning here. So what is the translation? That if one chants the holy name with offenses, he will not get the fruit of the chanting, which is love of Godhead, even if he chants for so many lifetimes. Anyway, we shouldn't worry about liberation and all these things. We should just worry about progressing in devotional service.
It means it's the same applies to living body now as offensive chanting and person who is
I don't think that if someone lives in Vrindavan, commits offenses, thinks of God knows what at the time of death, that he'll automatically go back to Godhead just because he was in Vrindavan. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the dham is covered by a thin veneer of maya, and that people who are offensive do not actually live in the dham, but they live on the outer surface, which is maya.
Become animals and then we go.
Anyway, whatever progress you make will carry over into the next life. So even if you're not completely successful, you can continue in the next life. So the best thing is to really think of how to engage in devotional service and please Krishna. Not be worried about our own liberation. such. Even in sadhana bhakti, our intention should be to please Krishna by our practices. And by thinking that Krishna is pleased, we should feel pleased. Yavilasita sanyam, we should have no other desire. Anukalena Krishna Nishinam. Srila Jiva Goswami has given a good example, which we can end with. He says that even an ordinary person can have the sense of feeling happiness in the happiness of one's loved one. He says even, you know, an ordinary, materially attached, foolish person, he can feel, he can accept difficulties for the sake of his son, for the sake of his child, and feel happy, knowing that his child is happy. For example, the man lives in Vrindavan, but he goes to Calcutta to earn money, and he earns 100 rupees a month, and he sends 80 rupees to his wife and to use for his son. And he just lives under the trees on the footpath. He just eats very ordinary food once a day. Has no facility at all. But if someone asks him, why are you accepting so much suffering? He will say, I'm not suffering, I'm happy. Because the letter will come from his wife that your son is growing up and I'm spending the money and buying milk for him and he's having all good things to eat and he's growing up and he's getting new clothes. So when he hears how his son is eating nicely and growing nicely, he feels happy. So in sadhana bhakti also, we accept so many difficulties. We have to rise early in the morning, we have to do things we don't want to do. We cannot do things that we want to do. So we suffer, in one sense we suffer. But if we think that by our efforts Krishna is pleased, or Guru is pleased, not directly Krishna, but Guru first. If we think that Guru is pleased, then we feel happy. Even in sadhana bhakti, even doing so many austerities and taking exams and so many things. So this is favorableness. This is favorableness. That we just want that Krishna should be happy. And if Krishna is happy, then I'm more happy. And if Krishna is not happy, then I'm not happy. So this is the mood of bhakti. And this mood should be there from the very beginning. In sadhana bhakti also. Well, the main factor is association. By associating with people who are in the mood of pleasing the spiritual master, we can get the same mood. And they will remind us also. And then all the other items, chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, living in Vrindavan, worshipping the deity, will be done in the right mood. So actually by association, the value of all the other practices is enhanced. All right, so wish you the best. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Damodara ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandini.